welcome all the families and kids with us here this morning. And I've got 15 minutes to do an hour job, so here we go. Are you ready? Go up. Praise the Lord. Hope you're having a wonderful Christmas. Bigger cities and towns. And they were preparing, true story, they were preparing for their annual Christmas play. And how many of you have been to those plays? My wife and I grew up around that stuff. And so you can imagine what's going on in a Christmas play. And there was a little guy that was a special needs boy, young boy, by the Herald. And they were looking for a way to, because Harold so bad wanted to be a part of the Christmas play. And they wanted to figure out a way to involve the little Harold in this deal. And finally they found a place for him. He would be the one that when Joseph and Mary arrived at the inn and knocked on the door, he would simply have to open the door of the stage prop, and say, "There is no room in the inn," and then close the door. They rehearsed it with him. He got that out good. They all breathed a collective sigh of relief. We finally got something for him to do. And the day came. Christmas play is on. Lights are dim. The music picks up. The hush backstage. Kids in their once a year washed angel robes and manger scene garb, throwing frisbees and snickering under their breath. You know the scene. And away it goes as it takes off. And everything goes off without a hitch. Comes down to, here comes Joseph and Mary with baby Jesus. And they approach the inn door and knock on the door. And Harold Arnold stands up, pulls on that door, and it hangs up. He jerks on it after a while. The whole prop is doing this and shaking, and miraculously, it pops loose without pulling anything over, and he stands there just in stunned silence, locked up. This wasn't planned, and somebody whispers from the back. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit that whispers once in a while? Somebody whispers from the back and says, "I'm so sorry, there's no room in the inn." Here's that, "I'm so sorry, there's no room in the inn," and close the door back. Whew. Relief all over the stage. We can move through perfect, except in that instant. Little Harold jerks the door open, goes running after them, and he says, wait, there's no room in there. You can come and stay in my house." You can forget for a few minutes all the craziness that's going on. Take a few minutes, make room for him in your house. In home, truly the fish confound the wise. What a precious story. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Another one of those favorite verses of something that packs a power punch. Most of you can quote it. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high thing that exists itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The religious mind immediately goes here, obedience to Christ. It's what he always does. It's a little subtle shift. Just one little word of two. And it changes everything. It skews the truth. It takes verse that is meant to bring freedom. Suddenly brings us back to bondage. Brings back to what? Jesus is clear in reference to works. He said, "I have this down in the front of my body, Bible in my body." Yeah. I've got a tattoo yelled about. front of my Bible. John 6:9. This is the work of God. You might believe on him who has sent me. There it is. How many are glad? Work. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The religious mind is to go different direction. It's how we've been taught. It's how we've been programmed. But notice what the says. We bring our paradigm, your belief system, your thought life, where you live every day, the umbrella of thought that encompasses your personal world. If we'll bring that whole process of life and submit by faith that he gives, by the way. Galatians chapter 2, verse 27, he says, I was crucified with Christ. Unless I live, yet not as Christ lives in me, in the life that I live in the flesh. I live by according to the faith of Jesus, the Son of God. Even in our faith, you hear me say, almost every week was a gift. I'm glad for that. And so it is bringing our world, our paradigm, bringing it and submitting it to this great relation, the obedience of Christ. Not our obedience. Is there a place for obedience? Absolutely. You don't obey to believe or obey to be made righteous. You simply receive. He has fully given all things for God. Chat up on the screen. I know how it got clearer and clearer with every revelation scripture. Why would communion? For God so loved the world that he gave his message should never get old to you. For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. Whomsoever believes in him, will not perish, but have. How many are good today? For life. Hallelujah. It's his obedience, not mine, that causes me to rise of the storm. It's my faith in his obedience, not mine, that causes me to triumph over Satan's trickery. It's his obedience and my faith in it, not mine, that causes me to rise above the constant pull of sin. It's his obedience, not mine, and my faith in his obedience that causes me to rise above the storm. How many are glad for Jesus today? Is there a place for obedience? Absolutely. But obedience follows belief. Why? Because it makes us his own. Simple profession of faith. Cause a miracle to take place on the inside. We become the house of God. He comes to live in. Aren't you glad for that day? And as a result of that, he puts his Holy Spirit within us. And we begin a walk of faith where we learn to obey a precious voice that speaks to us and leads us in paths of righteousness. I don't know about you, but I don't always get it. I miss it from time to time, and sometimes more than not. Don't look at me like that. You too. But I'm so glad he didn't leave me. Hebrews 13:5, he states clearly, behold, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you and I can boldly say, hey, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man can do unto me. That's good for preaching already. We're only 10 minutes in. Praise the Lord. Obedience of Christ, not to, causes me to rise above. Result is, he lives within. And now I learn to walk. And as I learn to obey, now a son, without fear of condemnation, I walk in the ways of blessing. Proverbs tells us that his prosperity, his blessing, makes us rich and adds no sorrow with it. That's Bible. What does rich mean? A full supply. Now, you sound like that prosperity stuff. Well, who's your provider? I said, who's your provider? You betcha I believe he prospers as his own. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hand up all over the building. Thank you, GGs, for who you are. For your blessing in my life. How many remember the Christmas story with Charlie Brown? And the discussion that goes on. I wanted to show it, but we couldn't get that. Something happened with our sound. But tell me if you've seen it. Maybe it'd be a good one to watch. Where Charlie Brown says, we need to talk about what Christmas is really all about. And Linus comes out and begins to quote the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. You remember that? Maybe it'd be a great thing to do. And I want to encourage you, parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, family members, take the time to read Luke 2. I'm not going to do it this morning. But four times in Luke 2, we hear these words. Fear not! Fear not! Fear not! Fear not! You want to hear it again? Four times. Fear, fear not! Hear it with your spirit ears. Fear not! Fear, fear not! Fear not! Fear not! Why? I'll tell you why. Because Mark's account, chapter 1, verse 23, he quoting the Old Testament says, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Come on, Sally Bates, help me out. Emmanuel, God with us. Woo-hoo! And if God be for us, who can be against us? Over and over again, he says, fear not. Here's why. Emmanuel, God with us. Lift up your hands right now with me out loud. Thank you, Lord, for who you are in me. Thank you, Lord, for who you are for me. Thank you, Lord, this Christmas week for who you are through me. Desperate people. I'm so glad in times like these, Christmas can be the most wonderful, joyous time. Right now, it's a lot of conflict because here we are having Christmas, suspended election, and this crazy so-called pandemic, and all the stuff being amped up, and it's so easy to just get lost in the melee. Don't. Remember one thing, regardless of what happens, you and I are citizens of another world. We are strangers and aliens. Peter said, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, called forth to show forth the praise, called to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness. I'm glad for Jesus. So over the next week, push it back somehow. You can stay informed without letting it get climb on the inside of you and make you just like the world. God help me. I got one at you and three at me. And that's all I'll say about that. See, relax. Huh? We have victory, you bet. Period. I'm glad for Jesus today. Say it one more time. Bump your neighbor and say, God is with us. In us. For us. And I'm going to allow him to move through me. I'm so glad at times like these. For some, a happy time. For many, a sad time. Thank you so very much, by the way, body of Christ, our body, for your prayers for my wife who lost her mama just a couple of days ago. God did big things in all that. For the believer, though, when we got the news, it's not easy to ever lose somebody, but when we got the news, I described it. Jackie said exactly how I felt. It was like when we got the news, we'd just gotten back. We made the trip up there and back, a wild trip. Oof. Anyway, and it was like a handful of just huge helium balloons. And with the word, it was just like. She's with Jesus. Paul said, for me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. This is all there is to it, people. This is a glimpse of what life is for those who embrace this great, great Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. Lift your hands up all over the room, would you? Yeah. How we love you and honor you. All right. Everybody pick the clock up, turn it around, and hang it backwards. Sparkling gems from the Greek bike runner. If you've never heard of it, it's powerful. Sparkling gems. From the Greek, Rick Renner, missionary to Russia, tremendous man of God, still doing the work of God. Jack and Gatton got him years ago at David Engel's studio in Broken Arrow, when he was just getting started. He has a number of volumes. This one is called The Real Christmas. Philippians 2:8. Being found in fashion, he humbled himself and be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You plan on taking this Christmas to tell your friends about the purpose of Christmas? So, tell them, Mom and Dad. Although we usually meditate the birth of Jesus at this year, his purpose in coming was not to give us a sweet picture of a baby in a manger. Little baby was born to die. For and for me, and thus for the forgiveness of our sins. He was born to die on the cross, you might be reconciled to God. For this reason, he says, I told our sons when they were young, don't just think of a baby in a manger at Christmas time. Christmas is about more than that. It's about God coming to earth in human flesh so he could die on the cross to pay for your salvation and destroy all the works of the devil in your lives. That is what Christmas is all about. John 3:8, write it down. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, destroy the works of the devil. Religion has done its best to confuse these issues. But let me simplify it for you. If it's God, if it's the devil. John 10 says, thief comes but for to kill, steal, destroy. But I have, you might have life and have life more abundant. Shout amen. Amen. People rarely think of the cross at Christmas time because it is the time set aside to celebrate this birth. But in Philippians 2, Paul talks the two thoughts. As Paul writes about becoming a man, he goes on to express the ultimate reason God was to take this amazing action. Paul says in verse 8, and being found in sin as a man, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, in the death of the cross. Because today, Chris, he is writing on Christmas Eve, so that you know. Because today is Christmas Eve, I want to use the sparkling gem to discuss a reason for Christmas, which contained in the truth found in this verse. Philippians 2:8, that Jesus was found in fashion as a man. That word fashion, this is an interesting thing. The word fashion is the Greek word schema, S-H-E-M-E. This extremely important, for this was precisely the same word was used in ancient times to depict a king who exchanged his kingly garments, listen, for a brief period of time, the clothing of a beggar. How wonderful that the Holy Spirit would inspire the apostle to use this exact word. When Jesus came to earth, it really was a moment when God Almighty shed his glory appearance and exchanged it for clothing of human flesh. Although man is wonderfully made, his earthly frame is temporal dust and not be compared to the eternal and glorious appearance of God. However, for the sake of our redemption, God laid aside all of radiant glory, took upon himself human flesh, was manifested in the very likeness of a human being. This is just the true story of a king who treated his kingly garments and took upon himself clothing of a servant. But the story doesn't stop there. Jesus, a king, who exchanged his royal robes for clothing of flesh, loved us so much that he humbled himself. and became obedient unto the even the death of the cross. The word humbled is the Greek word. Paneo, it means to be humble, to be lowly, and to be willing to stoop to any measure that is needed. That says a lot. This describes the attitude of God when he took upon himself human flesh. Think of how much humility we required for God to shed his glory and lower himself to become like a member of his creation. Consider the greatness of God's love that drove him to divest himself of all his splendor and become like a man. This is amazing to me, particularly when I think of often the flesh recalls at the thought being humble or prefer someone else above ourselves. Yet Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The word obedient tells me that this was not a pleasurable experience, and that Jesus looked something that Jesus looked forward to anticipation. To humble himself to this extent required Jesus' deliberate obedience. That's why I love that verse. Bring our world, our thoughts, our paradigms, bring them into captivity to his obedience, because it was ultimate obedience for our account. The word obedient lets us know this was not a pleasurable experience. As pre-existing God, Jesus came to earth for this purpose, but as man dressed in flesh, he despised the thought of the cross. Hebrews, that's what Scripture says. 12:2, and could only endure its shame because he knew the results of what would follow. For Jesus to be obedient as a man, he had to choose to obey the eternal plan of God. The word obedient is used to describe Jesus. Obedient that is used to describe Jesus is the Greek word hupakao, from the word hupo, which means under, and the word akao, which means I hear. When these two words are compounded together, they picture someone who is under someone's authority and listening to what that superior is speaking to them. That's awesome. After listening and taking these instructions to heart, this person then carries out the orders of his superior. Thus, the word hupakao tells us that obedient people are, number one, under authority. Number two, listening to what their superior is saying. And number three, carrying out the orders that have been given to them. This is what the word obedient means in this verse. And this is what obedient means for you and me. Once we come under his care and his protection, his Holy Spirit living in us leads the way. Are you learning to obey? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You see, even Jesus had to come to this place of obedience, although he knew that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That didn't mean his flesh was excited about dying as the Lamb of God on the cross. According to this verse in Philippians 2:8, Jesus had to humble himself and become obedient in order to follow God's plan. And he wasn't looking forward to the experience of death on the cross. He made a choice to humble himself and go to any measure for you and I necessary. I love that. In order to accomplish the Father's plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Three of you, you're glad. Come on. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Hallelujah. The part of the Father's plan was for Jesus to humble himself unto even the death of the cross. The word unto, man, this guy is very Greeky. He's a Greek fellow. The word unto is the Greek word, mekri, which is a Greek word that really means to such an extent. The Greek word mekri is sufficient in itself to dramatize the point But the verse goes on to say that Jesus humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. The word even is the Greek word day, which emphatically means even. The Greek carries this idea. Can you imagine? So this is the idea that the Greek is carrying forward in this verse. Can you imagine it? Jesus humbled himself to such a lowly position and became so obedient that he even stooped low enough to die the miserable death of the cross. Just think of it. Almighty God, clothed in radiant glory from eternity past, comes to this earth, formed as a human being in the womb of a human mother, for one purpose, so that he could one day die a miserable death on a cross to purchase our salvation. Wow. All of this required humility on a level far beyond anything we could ever comprehend, anything that has ever been requested of any of us. Yet this was the reason Jesus came. This is the reason why he came. This is the reason why he came. How many are glad for Jesus today? Oh, man. Therefore, he chose to be obedient to the very unhumbling self, to the very point of dying a humiliating death on a cross, thereby purchasing our eternal salvation. The word for you is, so as you celebrate Christmas this week, be sure to remember the purpose of Christmas. Remind your children, your grandchildren. It isn't just a time to reflect on the baby boy who was born in Bethlehem. This dovetails so perfect with a couple of weeks ago when I was telling about why he was born to die for you. And Jesus was so willing to do whatever was required in order to redeem us from Satan and sin. And he humbled himself even unto the death on a cross. This is what Christmas is all about. Can you say amen? Can you shout amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Pray with me, would you? Repeat after me. Lord, I thank you for coming to earth so that you could redeem me. When I think of the extent you were willing to go in order to save me, it makes me want to shout. Come on, uphill to celebrate and to cry with thankfulness. Little Harold, wait. They don't have room in there, but you can come stay at my house. Come on, are you here this morning? Pray with me. You love me so much. Come on, you love me so much. And I am so grateful for that love. Without you, I would still be lost and in sin. But because of everything done for me, today I am free. My life is blessed. Jesus is my Lord. Heaven is my home. And has no right to control me. I will be eternally thankful to you for everything you did to save me. I pray this in Jesus' name. And he has a confession that I want us to confess together. How many of you people remember what a confession is? Huh? Confession your sins. I can take you to the Greek word New Testament. It's morphically, it means the same thing. Make a confession of faith. We're saying the same thing God would say about a certain matter or else. Make this confession. Would you shout it out loud? Let me. I confess that Jesus Christ, let me, demonstrated his love to me by leaving behind heaven glory, taking upon himself human flesh. He did it for one purpose, so that one day he could go across and die for me, and thus reconcile me unto God. There is need for me to ever feel. Kids, I want you to hear this. Kids especially, say this with me. Say confession. There is need for me to ever feel unloved or unwanted, because Jesus went to the ultimate distance to prove that he loved me. Declare this by faith. In Jesus' name. Everybody should have shouted, amen, 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 amen. Your snare and religious beat you up. And you had a hard time saying some of that, because you're not sure where you stand. I want our congregation to stand together with you this morning. Everybody, all of you, everybody standing here with you, one or two or several this morning. You've never known for sure whether things were right between you and God. Religion has made it hard. Ministers have made it difficult. But it's not. Jesus himself said, comparing his way to the yoke of law, said that my yoke is easy. He was the lamb sent to be slain before the foundation of the world. He was, as John announced, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. You're here this morning. You don't have to leave here one time. Religion made it hard, but Jesus made it easy. All you've got to do is remember where you're standing. People say, well, I don't know about that. Shouldn't they go up front and make a public? Doesn't it say somewhere that it's not public about their faith? You religious. When somebody is born again, it's going to come out publicly at some point or another. Be in a head counter and share the love of God. If you're here this morning, right where you're standing, you can leave here today with knowledge that he's yours and you are his. I'd like all of us in here, including those of you that are not sure, leave here today, nobody on the shadow of a doubt, because this is what he promised. If you can confess with your mouth that he was raised from the dead, and believe that in your heart, you will be saved. I didn't hear anything about signing a card. I didn't hear anything about joining in a church. I didn't hear anything about tithing. I didn't hear a thing about church attendance. I didn't hear anything about you got to stop doing this or stop doing that. What I heard was, a miracle happens on the inside of you, and you can walk out never again doubting that the King of Kings is yours and you are his. What about their lifestyle? That's none of your business. Let the King on the inside work from the inside out. I hate religion, but I love my Jesus. So go together with every head lifted and every eye wide open. I want us to make this profession of faith together. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. That you were sent of the Father to demonstrate his love, to die on the cross for my sin, to shed your blood for my sin, to give up your own body for my healing. Today, I receive you, O Son of God, Emmanuel, Jesus the Christ. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my personal Lord and Savior. I receive forgiveness. I receive healing. Watch out. Healing comes just as easy as salvation. Come on. I rebuke disease. I rebuke disorder. I rebuke disorder and disease in Jesus' name. I speak to cancer. I speak to arthritis. I speak to disorder in Jesus' name. Thank you. The healer is in the house. Come on. Say, receive my healing. I receive my salvation right now in Jesus' name. The anointing of God flowing right now through this place, settling from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, driving out pain. How many can feel it in the house right now? Come on. Driving out pain, flowing down through your back, your hips, your legs, down into your knees. Come on, in Jesus' name. that, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I receive you now. Thank you for saving me right now upon the profession of my faith. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, died, buried, and resurrected for me. I will never doubt it again. I am your child. Thank you for saving me. And everyone shouted, amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen, amen. I am going to ask you to bow your head. In Jesus' name, I thank you for the miracle of the new birth. Swirling, forming, regenerating, renewing. Father, let these individuals never, ever, ever, ever forget this day. May they never be the same in Jesus' name. May the hunger of God for His Word overwhelm them. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Holy Spirit, for what only you can do right now. Let this be the best Christmas ever for them. And all the saints shouted, amen and amen. Sing with me as we're dismissed.